But don't scare Negroes today with no badge or no white skin or no white sheet or no white anything else. The police the same way. They put their club upside your head and then turn around and accuse you of attacking them. Every case of police brutality against a Negro follows the same pattern. They attack you, bust you all upside your mouth, and then take you to court and charge you with assault. What kind of democracy is that? What kind of freedom is that? What kind of social or political system is it when a black man has no voice in court, has no nothing on his side other than what the white man chooses to give him? My brothers and sisters, we have to put a stop to this. And it will never be stopped until we stop it ourselves. They attack the victim. And then the criminal who attacked the victim accuses the victim of attacking him. This is American justice. This is American democracy. And those of you who are familiar with it know that in America, democracy is hypocrisy. Now, if I'm wrong, put me in jail. But if you can't prove that a democracy is not hypocrisy, then don't put your hands on me.
Yes. Yes.
We want freedom.
Yes.
By any means necessary. We want justice by any means necessary. We want equality by any means necessary. We don't feel that in 1964, living in a country that is supposedly based upon freedom and supposedly the leader of the free world, we don't think that we should have to sit around and wait for some segregationist congressmen and senators and a president from Texas in Washington, D.C. to make up their minds that our people are due now some degree of civil rights. No, we want it now, or we don't think anybody should have it.
How will passage of the bill affect job opportunities?
I don't see where job opportunities will affect, I don't see how passage of the bill will affect job opportunities for black people when there's no law now that can create opportunities in employment even for white people. But the whole system in this country, the economic system, is such that jobs are scarce. Automation is limiting jobs. It's decreasing jobs. And as automation eliminates the job opportunities, legislation will not create job opportunities. All it will do is bring about friction and hostility between the two races.
How will passage of the Civil Rights Bill affect voter registration?
Anytime you have to pass a Civil Rights Bill to make voter registration or voting opportunities increase for black people in this country, that in itself is a slap at the entire system of democracy. The only thing that will affect voter registration is when our own leaders form some kind of political education program that makes our people become more politically mature, politically alert, and aware of what their involvement and participation in politics will bring them. So it's not so much voter registration without voter education is a waste of time. Legislation will do neither.
In order for you and me to devise some kind of method or strategy to offset some of the events or a repetition of the events that have taken place here in Los Angeles recently, we have to go to the root. We have to go to the cause. Dealing with the condition itself is not enough. And it is because of our effort toward getting straight to the root that people oftentimes think we are dealing in hate. We are oppressed. We are exploited. We are downtrodden. We are denied not only civil rights, but even human rights. So the only way we're going to get some of this oppression
and exploitation away from us or aside from us is come together against the common enemy. Who taught you to hate the texture of your hair? Who taught you to hate the color of your skin to such extent that you bleach to get like the white man? Who taught you to hate the shape of your nose and the shape of your lips? Who taught you to hate yourself from the top of your head to the soles of your feet? Who taught you to hate your own kind? Who taught you to hate the race that you belong to? So much so that you don't want to be around each other. No, before you come asking Mr. Muhammad, does he teach hate, you should ask yourself, who taught you to hate being what God gave you? And I, for one, as a Muslim, believe that the white man is intelligent enough. If he were made to realize how black people really feel and how fed up we are without that old compromising sweet talk. Stop sweet talking him. Tell him how you feel. Tell him how, what kind of hell you've been catching, and let him know that if he's not ready to clean his house up, if he's not ready to clean his house up, he shouldn't have a house. It should catch on fire and burn down.
Peace, peace, power, to say salam alaikum, I like to say hotel, I like to say free the land, black power to the family. Once again, we find ourselves here, 7 o'clock Wednesday night, for another episode of the Black Liberation Movement Blog Talk Podcast. And tonight, dear family, we have a great show on hand. We have a great honor and a great duty to perform tonight because of a great individual, a great spirit and a great ancestor that lived and gave his life for the liberation and salvation of our people and our race. We have tonight, family, if not, and I hate to put one above the other, but this is an exalted prince that we'll be honoring today on his day. And being that he's among the great ancestors, let us do as we always have done with our oath to our ancestors. So if y'all don't mind, y'all join along with me as I pay homage to those who have gave their life and continue to impart their lessons and their wisdom even to this very moment. And we do that by saying these words, O ancestors, blacker than a thousand midnights, O ancestors, it is to you who we owe our respect and our honor. O ancestors, to our Blog Talk Podcast tonight, as we honor one of the greatest, help us tonight to be effective in our dissemination of the life of the great ancestors. strengthen me tonight, ancestors. Help me to become a perfect vessel of your wisdom, your guidance. Help me to become a beacon, a light to our people. I'm just a vessel that's willing to sacrifice my own life for the betterment of my own people. Almighty ancestors, we know you are capable of doing everything that I just asked, because it is you, Almighty ancestors, that gave mathematics to the world. It is you, Almighty African ancestors, that gave science to the world. It is you, Almighty ancestors, who gave philosophy to the world, chemistry to the world, literature to the world. It is you, Almighty ancestors, who gave God consciousness to the world. Thank you, Almighty ancestors, for being with us tonight as we honor, sit among you, as we honor one whose words govern our movements even today. Almighty ancestors, we will not fail you, and we will not betray you, Almighty ancestors. Thank you. Ashe, Ashe, Asheo. Thank y'all for tuning in tonight. If you tune in, buckle your seatbelts, because I'm elated and I'm honored tonight to be able to bring a trans and a robust conversation tonight. We're here today because today is a special day. Today is May 19th. And on May the 19th, in 1925, was born by the name of Malcolm Little in Omaha, Nebraska. We coming tonight to pay tribute to a man that was born Malcolm Little, but became known to the world as Malcolm X. He went on to take on other names, but the name that carried the most weight, that became the instrument, the executive producer of Black liberation, the champion cause of humanity to the world. I'm very excited tonight that we're paying honor on May the 19th, 2021, to our great prince, our great God King, Malcolm X. Yes, I said God King Malcolm X. Y'all let me know if you hear me well. Let me know, am I being transparent? Somebody send me some information and let me know, because we want to be clear tonight. Great Dr. Richmond, I did call and tell him to be a part of the podcast tonight. I don't know if he on tonight, but he taught me a lesson about 3 years ago. He said, Brother Patrick, he said, if you're going to stand in the position to lead our people, he said, the most important thing is to be clear. That's the most important thing, is to be clear. Thank you, Brother Maurice. He said, I'm coming through crystal clear. Well, let's get this podcast started, because Brother Malcolm is sitting and he's waiting to hear from us. I love Brother Malcolm. I did the math could be wrong, and somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but the fact that Malcolm was born in 1925, if I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong, I double-checked, but I could be wrong. If Malcolm was alive with us today in the physical realm, because he's very much alive, he's very much alive. He's just not here physically. But Malcolm is more alive than a lot of us walking around right now in the physical. Malcolm is more alive. But if my math served me right, if Malcolm was here right now, he'd be 96 years old. 96. If my math served me right, if I'm wrong, no embarrassment at all. Somebody correct me. But if Malcolm was here, he would be 96 years old. Yeah, thank you, brother. So, we want to pay tribute to Brother Malcolm. We want to give honor to Brother Malcolm tonight. He is worthy of our honor. You know, it's something that I thought about today as I was back and forth, to and fro the highways. I'm going through personal situations and transitioning my own personal life, but I reflected on Malcolm today, and it's something very interesting that I thought about. I said, they don't want to give Malcolm a national day. I'm talking about the oppressors. And not just like the great Dr. Martin Luther King, but he got a day that's nationally recognized. Won't give Malcolm a national day. Not that we give a damn that they won't give Malcolm a day, but we should look at why won't they give Malcolm X a day? Well, I think by the end of this podcast, we'll understand why our oppressor will not recognize Malcolm on a national day. That's why we decide, Black Nation, that we will give Malcolm his just due. We will honor him. What kind of people sit and wait on their oppressor to tell them who to honor? Ain't that crazy? Ain't that crazy? People who have been oppressed to sit and wait on their oppressor to tell them when and who to honor. That's something. So I'm grateful for the forward-thinking, conscious-minded brothers and sisters that decided this day, May 19th, will be the day that we honor the Prince, the God King, Malcolm X. And I did say God King, Malcolm X. We'll explain that in a minute. So I solicit positive vibes. The phone calls tonight, we want to open the lines up tonight. We want people that's listening to call in and pay your own tribute to Malcolm. We don't want this to be a monologue tonight. I reached out to some people that I would like to hear. Depending on how effective you are. If you're effective, you can be more than brief. But we solicit brief commentary because I feel like we're going to get an influx of calls tonight. Malcolm should be on it tonight. So call in tonight and press 1 and pay your respect to our brother Malcolm X. Our call-in number is 563-999-3682, and press 1. Our call-in number is 563-999-3682, and press 1. So until we get a caller, I decided that we will center this podcast tonight around what Malcolm taught us, some of the great teachings of Malcolm. We'll focus on some things that Malcolm said, and we'll relate it to today, how we function from what Malcolm said. What Malcolm said was so correct. Yeah, kind of how when I was growing up in the church, how the people say it in the church, well, the Bible said it. If the Bible said it, then it's true. You didn't understand 95 to 99% of what the Bible said. We didn't even understand none of that. But we said if the Bible said it's true. So Malcolm is like that to me. Man, study. He didn't just get up and ravel off at the mouth. The man studied. He studied our condition. Diagnosed and analyzed. He did pattern analysis. Critical thinking. Calculated assumptions that came to what we want to call critical facts. I heard one of the people that were close to Malcolm said that Malcolm never ate a piece of candy in between his meals. I heard one person say that was close to Malcolm that Malcolm never ate before giving an important lecture or talk. What kind of man is this? Think about that. He didn't even eat. Now, I ate right before I came here. I ain't that disciplined. I'm not that disciplined. But why did Malcolm do that? Because he had learned the science of eating. He learned what digestion was. Watch this man. He said that he wouldn't eat before giving a lecture. He thought you were so important that he wouldn't eat before giving a lecture because he didn't want blood rushing to his stomach for digestion that should be going to his brain for stimulation. What kind of man are we honoring today? I'm real happy. I'm real happy. Because that, my father, it's my spiritual father. I hope one day that somebody will say, you like your father. Every son hopes one day that somebody will say, you just like your father. What a man. What a man. So don't be afraid to call in 563-999-3682. Press 1 and give your tribute to Mal. It can be nothing more than your favorite quote. We're going to create conversation tonight. We'll be the first to call in and talk to Lamont tonight. We got a call. Call us 7535. Let's hear from
him. Hello, Brother Alexander.
Yes.
Can you hear me? This is Dr. Holloway.
I knew you would be the first one to call in.
Well,
I knew you would be the first one to call in. Thank you, Baba.
Well,
Baba.
I'm going to thank you for. I'm giving you for thank you for having this tribute because we celebrate some of our leaders that really don't need celebrating, but this is one man, like you said, God King, and he's really made an impact in my life, and I just want to give a few tributes to him if it's okay with you.
Yes, sir. We listening.
Yes, all right. Well, one thing about Brother Malcolm X is that he was a Pan-Africanist, and that simply means that he was for African people all over the world, not just in the United States. So actually, he was an international figure. Would you agree with that?
Yes, sir. I think he was.
And that
he's world renowned.
And one thing that I like about Malcolm X, of course, I like a whole lot of things, but a few things that stand out, he said this about police brutality way back in the 60s, that we are not killed because we're Baptist or Methodist or Jehovah's Witness, but we're killed because we're black. And so that's right there should tell us that we should unite against a common enemy. I don't care what religion that we ascribe to. And I thought
that
was very profound.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Very profound.
And in his book, another thing in his book, he said, I don't know if many people know this, but his wife had a Black History book published of a lot of quotes that he said. And one of the things he said is, our hatred for ourselves, talking about black people, stems from our hatred of Mother Africa. So we've got to reprogram our people to respect Mother Africa. Not only that, but the black culture, because we're so inundated with trying to be like our oppressor. But he said, our hatred for ourselves stems from our hatred of Mother Africa. And I agree with that totally, because, you know, I don't know if you can remember, but when I was growing up, they had Tarzan movies where this white man would swing on a rope and black Africans were half-dressed with throwing spears, and all them was run. All he had to do was holler. And see, that put a negative image. We don't understand. Television is nothing but a programming instrument. And we don't understand that that's why it's called program, because it's really programming our mind to be like our oppressor. That's why I watch maybe 15 minutes of TV per day. But the statistics have shown that black people watch an average of 10 to 15 hours of TV per day, and that's not but pure programming, bro.
Wow.
And I'm going to say this, and I'm going to let somebody else get on the line, but this is the one thing, if you don't remember anything else about Brother Malcolm X, remember this. Before he was assassinated, and I do say assassinated because he was the great leader. Before he was assassinated, he was getting ready to take the United States of America to the United Nations to present, of course, I'm sure you know this, but for some that don't, to present the United States for human rights violations against African American people. And I will never forget that. But I just want to salute the Black Liberation Movement and the young people that you're working with. And it's just a great thing. And we honor this God King, as you say.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And thank you so much for what you do. And may God's blessings be upon you. And anything I can do to help the Black Liberation Movement, you know I'm always here. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yes, sir, Bob. All right. Yes, sir. Thank you for calling in. Stay on the line and listen to the rest of the program.
Oh, thank you, sir. I'm listening. I've been listening ever since you came on.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Bob.
All right.
That's Bob Michael Hollowell. And I met the Bob a few years ago at the African American Museum in North Memphis. And I knew that our union would be one that would last. One thing I want to say about Bobby, Michael Hollowell, is that he has done a great work. He has created an African version of the Bible. Now, think about that. I want to honor this man right now because I told him that I would. And if I have a platform and it's some black people doing something, then I'm going to honor them, promote them, and we're going to support them. But Baba Michael Hollowell has taken the time because he knew it was something that we needed. We needed to see ourselves. John Henry Clark said, and I know we got a caller, we're about to get to that caller. But John Henry Clark said, concerning that Bible, that King James Version of the Bible that we have, that I grew up on, that my parents told me that we should abide by every word in that book. Well, John Henry Clark studied too. And he said that if you cannot use the Bible as a liberation tool, then you should disregard it and throw it in the ash can of history. He said, he so said, and I back him 100%. So Brother Hollowell understands imagery. Y'all remember watching the Ten Commandments and whoever that cracker was standing up there with the tablets. I forget that cracker name, whatever his name is, standing up there like he Moses. See, that imagery is still in my mind, just like Brother Hollowell is talking about Tarzan, the king of the jungle. How? You're European. Thank you, Baba Hollowell, for calling in. And thank you for the work that you do. You have been supportive of the Black Liberation Movement in your, not only your words, but your dime. Thank you, Baba Hollowell, for calling in. You are an extremely respected elder in our community, and we will be locking on physically in the future, most definitely. Okay, caller 4036. Caller 4036.
Peace and blessings, my brother.
Oh, I know who this is. I know exactly who this is. This Batman. Yes, sir, Brother Kenny Muhammad. Go ahead, my brother.
Salaam alaikum, brother.
Waalaikum salaam.
I'm so honored and blessed to be able to call in to such a wonderful show and wonderful platform. And as soon as I tuned in, I hear our great brother Michael on there. So I guess
yes,
I'm
sir.
In the place I need to be today. How you been doing, Brother Patrick?
Oh, brother, I'm well, man. I'm well, man. Yes, sir, I'm well. I'm even better now that I'm hearing your voice, man. I got some great people. I just heard from Baba Michael. Hollowell, now I'm here from you. So you go ahead,
well,
brother. You got the mic.
Well, brother, I'm just honored that I got your message and you asked me to call in on such a momentous occasion. Talking about our brother, Brother Malcolm, a brother who was a star among us, and his star still ascending to the highest heaven. His relevancy today is just as much or even more than it was during the time when he walked this earth physically. Brother Michael hit on so many points, but I was always wondered, you know, why a brother like Malcolm, you know, what brought him into existence? You know, we know there's nothing spooky. We know that there's a law of cause and effect. And our people who have suffered so much for so long here in the world of North America, in this Western Hemisphere, you know, our ancestors always prayed for deliverance. They always wanted one to come who would lead us. And we understand that whenever there's a longing in nature, you know, nature produces someone to satisfy that longing. And our brother Malcolm was such an individual. You take brother Malcolm's life and the vicissitudes that he went through, brother, and that's so many of us today walk that same life. Could it be that the Creator wanted to give us an example of a young boy who had circumstances at home that wasn't ideal? Could it be the Creator wanted to give us an example of someone who had all the odds stacked against him from the teacher who tried to discourage him from being all he can be? When he said he wanted to be a lawyer, and she discouraged him and said, you know, why don't you be a carpenter? You know, it's like putting a needle in the brain. How many of our young girls go to school, Brother Patrick, Sister Crystal, and aspire to greatness, to only have some teacher who, through their racism or through their ineptitude, discourage them and kill the desire, you know, as Bob Marley says, you know, kill them before they grow.
That's right.
You know, could Brother Malcolm have been an example of a brother who had to overcome all of that? And even as so many of our men who find themselves in the prison houses of America, I mean, think about this. Here's a man that had failed to the lowest level of society. And through knowledge, through dedication, through discipline and commitment, you talked about his diet. You talked about those things, you know, because what he practiced, then he instilled that discipline in others, and the men who held themselves to the discipline that he put on himself, they became giants as well.
Right.
To come from prison to be the national spokesperson of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. He had many ministers, but he chose him as a sign. He wanted the world to see this is what he was because you made him that. But now, being brought into the knowledge of who he really is, look what he has become. And that's an example for all of us. You know, many of our lives take turns, brothers. You know, I know mine have.
Yes, sir.
But
no,
when we look at that brother, we see someone who overcame what they would have thought was insurmountable odds to achieve greatness, not just in this life, but in the hereafter. Because there's a man who was dead before I was born. You know, I'm old as 30, brother.
Yeah.
we're talking about him today, and we're honoring him, and we're trying to follow in those footsteps to the best of our abilities. So, man, I want to always, you know, first and foremost, let you know, brother, how much I really love you and how much I really
love
what you're doing. You have the heart of a lion, a champion, and the desire to see our people free.
Yes, sir, brother. Thank you. I love you too, brother. I love you too, brother. And that's a love, brother. I'm telling you something. Most of us can't exemplify that type of love. We can't even say what you just said, brother. We don't even know how to fix our mouths to say to another black man, a brother, that I love you the way that you just did. But through our work and our dedication and our commitment, we understand what it takes to be doing the things that we're doing, and it's nothing but love that can be exemplified. So I love you just the same, brother, because I see myself in you, and I'm sure you see yourself in me. And our father, Malcolm, and the other great men that precipitate from Malcolm in these examples, like you said, could it be that our situation precipitates an existence like Malcolm to come into existence, brother? But kidding, man, I really appreciate you, brother. Every time you do something to my spirit, brother, when I hear you, you're so profound and you're so methodical with your dissemination of your explanation of whatever it is that you're trying to convey to us. And I really appreciate you, brother. And I thank you for calling in. And I hope that you hold on the line for a minute. And if you have anything else to say, brother, please hit one and come on back in and help us. But we got some more callers that we want to get to, brother. But I will give you an opportunity to say something else if you choose to.
Yes, sir.
Brother Kenneth there?
Yes, I'm still here, Brother Patrick, and I'll be with you to the duration of the show, brother. So keep doing what you're doing. And if pleases God, then I'll come right back on.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you being there, brother. Thank you, Brother
Kenneth. Yes, sir.
Salaam alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum salaam.
That was Brother Kenneth Muhammad. Yes, sir. All right. We got another call. We ain't gonna waste no time. We got caller 8869. Go ahead, caller 8869.
All right. We got caller 8869.
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, can y'all hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, this is Zah Ishmael.
Zah, Brother Zah.
Yes, praise.
Proud,
how you doing, man?
Proud. Yes, sir. Proud member of the Black Liberation Movement.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I appreciate
yes,
y'all.
Yes, sir.
And I also wanted to say that I appreciate the work that you and Sister Crystal have been doing. It's very inspiring. I am. It's inspired me, and it's inspired others. And I'm trying to work as much as I can to try to get more people to join and more people to join the show. But one of the things
turn
I wanted to say.
Down. Turn your radio
down. Okay, hold on.
Hold
on 1 second.
Okay.
One of the things the only thing. I think that it's important. Yeah, I'm here. Can y'all hear me?
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. We can hear you.
Okay, yeah. I was saying that I think that it's important at this time that we, you know, pay homage to Malcolm X, that, you know, and his legacy, that we focus on his ideology. Because I think a whole lot of people was paying homage to our brother, but they don't agree with his ideology. I think that they just putting on shirts, they putting on the black the culture, but they still are, you know, Anglo-Americans in black skin in terms of their mind.
Okay.
I think that we have to look at that, and I think that we have to teach people that it's not good enough just to stand by portraits of Malcolm. It's not good enough to just, you know, put on the video of Malcolm or talk about Malcolm, but we got to agree with Malcolm. And I think that
that's
is the ultimate thing that we can do, the ultimate celebration of his legacy that we can do, not a picture or just talking about it, but saying that we agree with the principles that he was putting. You know, that the distinction, you know, that distinction, you know, that Malcolm X was a liberation fighter and he was about revolution. He wasn't no reformist.
Right. Right.
That's it. That's all I have to say. I appreciate y'all taking.
And Brother Zah, we appreciate you, brother. And we looking forward this year to seeing you and the family, brother. I know we missed last year, but we're looking forward to seeing you at the Black Liberation Building Power Summit this September, brother. I'm looking forward to seeing my brother.
Yes, we are putting that together, brother. Right now, we are going to be there in full effect, and I can't wait. And I love the name of the summit. I love it. I love it.
Thank you, Brother Zah. I hope that you stay tuned for the duration of the call. And
yes,
sir. And listen here, brother. hang on. And if you have any other thing to say that could add to the effectiveness of this show, do press 1 and call in, sir.
Yes, sir, I'll be here, and I will do.
Thank you, my brother. Appreciate the
All
love.
Right now. Mm-hmm. Love you too, brother.
That was Brother Zah Ishmael, a proud member of the Black Liberation Movement, all the way from the East Coast. So we have tentacles that stretch all the way to the East Coast. We have heard, they have heard our cry all the way to the East Coast, and we have brothers and sisters that have joined the ranks of the Black Liberation Movement. But let me tap on something that Brother Zah said. Brother Zah said, why y'all just making Malcolm a fascist statement? That's what he said. He said, y'all got on the X hats, you got on the Malcolm X t-shirts, but you ain't living Malcolm. You know? You ain't living Malcolm. But you ain't living Malcolm. I got a problem with that too, Brother Zah. And I'm glad we got the platform to talk about it. How do you pay honor and homage to a father? You just wear his clothes but don't walk his walk? You wear his clothes but don't talk his talk? What kind of son and daughters are we? Are we just trying to make a fascist statement? See? So, yeah, Brother Zah, I appreciate that. Strong point of reference. Let's not make Malcolm a fascist statement. And we need to call people on that. Today is Malcolm's Day. Soon we get in callers, let me know. But we're going to go forward. We're going to create some more conversation. But I told y'all we want to center this conversation, this tribute, and this celebration of the life of Brother Malcolm on his born day. Brother Malcolm would have been 96 years old today. And we want to go through some of his profound teachings that he left us. Very profound teaching. Malcolm said some powerful things now. Tell you now, it's a very powerful thing. Let's go through some of these things that Malcolm said. Malcolm said probably his most famous words is quoted today. Now, I got Brother Zah in mind right now because we don't live by this. Malcolm said, by any means necessary. He said some stuff before that, too. But that, them four words right there, basically the liberation of black people. How do you obtain that? He said, by any means necessary. What that mean? What that mean? It's very self-explanatory, but apparently we don't understand what by any means necessary means. When we still sitting here, decades after Malcolm's assassination, the victims of injustice, social injustice, of whipping boys, of American society. The flunkies of American society. The bottom rail of American society. Apparently we don't know what by any means necessary means. Y'all remember me saying before we got into this discussion, good. I said it became interesting thought to me, and our oppressor didn't even consider legislation on Malcolm X Day. It's a reason. See, Malcolm didn't say Dr. King prematurely
I will say prematurely, because Dr. King became a Malcolm X as well. Love your enemy. Love those that despitefully use you and turn the other cheek. He didn't say that. Malcolm knew that white folks didn't have something that you call moral character. Malcolm understood he wasn't fooled by no stretch of the imagination that white people in the society that they had created under a system of racism and white supremacy, a system. See, system don't mean just something you wake up one day you do it, the next day you don't. System means this is how we function. Under a system of racism, white supremacy, Malcolm understood clearly. He studied. He understood what we were dealing with. And he was very clear. He knew that they don't have moral character. You out here fighting for civil rights. This is a human rights issue. This is a human rights issue. By any means necessary. He knew what we were dealing with. We weren't dealing with somebody playing fair. You know, we weren't dealing with people who played fair. We were dealing with the devil. We dealing with the devil today. So Malcolm said, by any means necessary. Have we developed, even today, have we developed the moral character in us for the humanity that Malcolm was talking about? See? If you still thinking this is a civil rights issue, you ain't developed that. See, I've been come to the conclusion a long time ago, and I made a lot of people mad. They don't like this civil rights stuff. Because you know what? I saw the most intelligent black people in my community as a child. The most intelligent, the so-called most educated, begging white people. Begging them to be accepted in every area of human activity. Begging for civil rights. Well, if you understood your own humanity, you wouldn't be begging. You would not be begging. Malcolm didn't want to go to the UN to talk about civil rights. Malcolm wanted to go to the UN because our human rights had been attacked. Just like Dr. Michael Hollowell was telling us. And yes, Dr. Hollowell, I'm very familiar with Malcolm's international he had made contact with an African, Pio Pinto. I may be missing part of his name, but his name was Pinto. And they discussed the human rights violations of European and white Americans on Africans and blacks in America. So I'm very familiar, brother. Thank you. But Malcolm was talking about human rights. And just to go back to the relevance of those four words, by any means necessary. That's what he was speaking on. We have to attain this by any means necessary. Okay? We're going to go on to our next quote after this caller. Caller 4036. Again, caller 4036.
Brother Patrick, this is Brother Kenneth.
Brother Kenneth, okay.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Point
the point you was making, tying in with what Brother Michael said, when you are petitioning for civil rights, then the people you are asking are basically the ones who are violating those civil rights. You never hear Caucasian people here in America asking for civil rights. You know, in that document that they put together, they said that men are born with inalienable rights, meaning God-given rights that they can't even relinquish. So they always express their humanity. But on the flip side, coming up out of slavery and being deemed three-fifths of a human being and being recognized as chattel, we came up petitioning our very exploiters, enslavers, and oppressors, and appealing to something that they lacked, which was the moral correctness to do right by us. So Brother Malcolm, understanding those things and having been taught that we are citizens of the created nation here on this planet, we must act accordingly. He wanted to go to the United Nations and then get America, bring them up on charges in the international court. And I like to close this point where even today, with some of the atrocities that was taking place in all these wars that we have prosecuted, and I want to stay in Prague at the Hague, where the ICC, the International Criminal Court, is, the United States of America cannot be brought to the ICC. They've set it up where they can't even be charged on an international level for some of the things that they have done all over the world.
Ain't that something? Thank you, Brother Kenneth, for calling in and driving that point home and making us understand even better, you know, what Malcolm was doing and how it relates to our condition today. And I just want to continue on that same course that Brother Kenneth was talking about, because if America positions itself to the point where it can't even be brought up on charge on an international level, I just heard the same thing on a domestic level this morning concerning Andrew Brown, the brother that was shot in the back of his head, and the DA, after the police investigated the police, came to the conclusion that no officers would be charged in the murder of Andrew Brown. Well, it's the police investigating the police. The DA said that he was posing a threat whether his car was moving or stationary. Did y'all hear that? He was posing a threat whether his car was moving or stationary. So you a threat, black man, whether you moving or not moving. Dang. But what's the problem here? What's the real problem here? See, we got the police, policing the police. It don't matter whether they're on a world, international level, or on a domestic level. The white man is the white man. And they have a code of operation. It's called white supremacy. And the biggest threat to white supremacy is black liberation. Justice. As Neely Fuller would say, justice is the greatest potential to administer justice in the earth is the original man. That's the black man. So the white man will bow down hard as he possibly can to not give no air to the black man. So that leads us to this. Another quote from Brother Malcolm. He said, nobody can give you freedom. Nobody can give you equality or justice or anything
He said, if you are a man, you take it. I'm going to read that again. I like how my spirit felt when I read that. See, we ain't got no institutions that teach this to our children. That's one of our problems. We're going to get there. We're going to get there next. The quote that Malcolm dropped on us. The teaching, they just quotes now. Hell, they wouldn't quote when he was saying it. He was teaching. And we call them quotes now, teaching us. But we ain't got a standing institution that teaches on a daily basis to our children. We constantly inundated with our oppressor teachers every day. But I'm going to say this again. Malcolm said, nobody can give you freedom. Nobody can give you equality or justice or anything. I heard somebody say, if somebody give you something, they can take it back. They ain't yours. They let you have it. So they give it to you, they can take it back. He said, if you're a man, you take it. So, y'all talk about the Emancipation Proclamation again? Now, how does that apply to what Malcolm said? Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves. You better watch that D behind free. That D behind free is freed. That means somebody freed you. You're not free. According to Malcolm, you take that with your own hand. But if somebody freed you, that's on their turn. Think about that. We don't have an institution that teaches us Malcolm 101. We should have whole institutions that teach nothing but Malcolm. Nothing but Malcolm. You got enough right here on this piece of paper I got right here. Teach a whole curriculum. Nothing but Malcolm. Nobody can give you freedom. Nobody can give you equality or justice or anything. If you are a man, you take it. We ought to have some more callers. But since we don't, let's go on. I said we're going to talk about this education thing. Malcolm said that only a fool will allow his enemy to educate his children. Only a fool will allow his enemy to educate his children. So if Malcolm is right, we got a lot of fools. I'm even one. See what I'm talking about? I got to be a fool, too. My children graduated from white folks' school, white people curriculum, got white people degrees. How many of us listening, according to Malcolm, is a fool? See? See, we don't honor our ancestors because we don't do shit they say. We don't do shit they say. What if you didn't do what your mama said? See, that's what I'm talking about. If Malcolm is our father, why we don't obey him? Because we got some more parents. We just did the show of what our standard was last week. I ain't forgot. We got some more parents that we really have. See, a lot of us don't see white folks as our enemies. We see white folks as outstanding. We see white people outstanding. Malcolm was here today. I tell people all the time, you couldn't follow Malcolm. You couldn't follow Malcolm. Hell, you couldn't even follow King. I couldn't follow King. My mama told me.
when King came down 51 Highway, I ain't even a half mile from where I'm sitting right now. She said, everybody didn't go Mars with King, Patrick. I said, what grandmama there was? She said, they was in church. So what they were doing there? Apparently they were praying for his safety. Well, if you want to assure somebody's safety, you need to be on the battlefield. But yeah, we don't have an institution that teaches freedom is gained with your own hand. We don't have a standard institution that teaches that. All the HBCUs we have don't teach that. Howard, the Black Harvard. What kind of shit is that? Howard is the Black Harvard. See how we make white folks our standard? How come Howard can't just be the standard of black excellence? Why? Why it can't be? Because we need to we need the validation of white people. You couldn't follow Malcolm. Malcolm said only a fool will allow his enemies to educate his children. That's why we keep on adding on to the strength of white people. Because they training us too. That's not even education what you get. That's training. That's training. So that you can fit into the social fabric of America, come little batteries of white functionality, little batteries, little energy that push white supremacy right on down the track. Yeah. Yeah. Kind of got out of line. I had these things in line. So after, you know, the freedom quote, I should have came back and told what the requirement of freedom was if you're going to take it with your own hand. Malcolm went on to say, he said, if you're not ready to die for it, get the word freedom out of your vocabulary. I didn't say it. Malcolm said it. Die for it. Put the word freedom out of your vocabulary. Yeah, this is some real talk, man. Malcolm wasn't playing. See why he don't have the oppressor didn't give him a day? We give him the day and the honor tonight on his day. We give him that. Ain't no oppressor going to give you a savior. Malcolm is a savior. Told y'all the God King. I ain't scared to use that type of language. I know exactly what I'm saying. The God King, y'all ready to call some stringy hair, white, made up ass somebody God. You ready to call some white made up imagery God. But Malcolm has exemplified a high level of humanity. A level of intelligence that's enough to free you from your oppressor. That ain't God. God is an equation itself. I said itself. Y'all keep saying pronoun. Y'all keep saying him, her. I said God it. The energy that can inhabit a man. And it's showing the hell inhabited mouth. So I ain't afraid to say God, force and power. They do shit in your life. You got a weak representation of God. Hanging up and getting scared. We got a call on the line. I forgot the number. Go on, let him come through.
All right, Brother Patrick, this is Dr. Hollowell again. I don't want to monopolize the time, but you hit on some key points. I just want to dialogue a few minutes.
Go ahead, Doc.
Well, you touched education, and I'm a veteran educator, so I will say this about Malcolm, that he didn't attend the HBCU. He didn't attend Harvard. Malcolm was self-educated, and people have to understand that.
Yes,
he educated himself. He studied. He read. He did just what most of us don't want to do now. We just accept whatever is given us. And one thing that he said that sticks out in my mind, he said this to black people in America when he was living. He said, you refer to yourself as the minority, or rather the white people refer to us as the minority. But he said, if you look at the majority of people in the world, they are people of color. And he said, you are actually the majority in the world. And that really changed the trajectory of a lot of people's thinking back then.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Because you're looking at yourself as the victim when you are actually the superior race, because they are, according to Dr. Franz Wilson, that's why they hate us. So, because if you have the black DNA, you have the ability to annihilate the recessive genes that carry the white trait. Now, that's just scientific. And so we have to look at ourselves as a power force. And I like when you say that King was a Malcolm in his later years because he saw the light.
Yes, sir.
Malcolm, and one thing I admire about Malcolm, he said, if you put a hand on us, we're going to put a hand on you. Yes, I'm a Baptist preacher, but it's called self-defense, and you have that right. You know, somebody hurt you, then, hey, sometimes you have to fight five with five. Yeah, I love my enemies and all that, but we misunderstand, we misinterpret that it's several types of enemies. Internal enemy, that was talking about an internal enemy. I don't call nobody my brother who wants to castrate us and murder us and rape us. That's not a friend. That's not a brother. That's not a neighbor. That's your oppressor. And there's a difference between loving your oppressor and loving your enemy. So I'm not going to go on. You know, I could go on and on, but I'm going to give somebody else an opportunity to talk. But just keep doing what you're doing, and I'm going to keep listening. And whatever I can do, just let me know. All right, brother?
Thank you, Dr. Hollowell. Appreciate you hanging in there and giving us your explanation. Thank you for that, Dr. Hollowell.
You're so welcome.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We thank Dr. Hollowell for hanging in there with us and becoming a part of this discussion. Yeah, Dr. Hollowell, he hit on some things there and made clear some things concerning Brother Malcolm. Push on a little bit further. And I'm just trying to see which one of these I want to do next with our illustrious Prince, God King Malcolm. Let's do this one here, because this one is very, very relevant. He said that history is a people's memory. And without a memory, man is demoted to the lower animals. Now, see, a lot of y'all don't know that quote from Malcolm. Like I said, this is a quote now. But it was a quote when Malcolm was teaching. It was teaching. It was lessons. He said, history is a people's memory. And without a memory, man is demoted to lower animals. That's why I come, it's so important that we teach history. And I'm glad Dr. Hollowell is on tonight. He is the creator of African Bible. Because John Henry Clark said that the biggest thing our churches are missing is a history lesson. See, I can remember coming up in church. They taught no history. No history. I'm talking about chronological, factual happenings that took place
that we become the derivative of, the set of circumstances and events that chronically happened up until this time. See, the church did not teach that. Yeah, we had what we call Black History Month, where we got up there and we quoted some things that some black people have said in history, but we didn't know about the events. We didn't talk about slavery in church. We didn't talk about the transatlantic slave trade in church. Y'all remember doing that? No. We talked about Moses crossing the Red Sea and the children of Israel. We talked about all of those things that needed to be deciphered. But it wasn't actual fact. Because of their belief. But belief is the acceptance of things you don't know. History is actual fact. So what is Malcolm saying here? Malcolm saying history is a people's memory. So you don't remember your actual history. You remember the Bible history or what's been disseminated to you time and time again. But you don't remember your actual course and plight in history. So Malcolm said if you don't remember that, without a memory, you become the lower animal. Ain't that what you can enslave? Now don't you become something that you can enslave? I just had a grandson. His name is Kente. And I fought for that. I fought for that. I fought for him to have a name. They didn't name his first name, but I said, y'all going to have to put original name on this child. I fought for that. His name is Kente. It reminded me of Kunta Kente. Now, I know a lot of us saw Roots. We're going to teach tonight in honor of Malcolm. We're going to teach tonight. I know a lot of y'all saw Roots. And in Roots, it was a scene played by LeVar Burton, who was Kunta Kente. And the white man strung him up on a tree. And he whipped him across his back. He said, what's your name, boy? He said, Kunta Kente. You know, the lashed him across his back to the blood flowed from his body like Job in the Bible. Y'all know the story, the flesh fell from his bone. See, y'all talk about Job, but you ain't going to talk about all the slaves that got their name took at the hands of a whip in the real history. You don't know no Job. Where's burial site at? Where's Job burial site at? I can take you to a lot of slave graves right here in Mississippi. John Henry Clark said the church is missing a history lesson. Actual fact, Malcolm said, if you don't have a historical memory of yourself, then you're just the lower animals. So they strung Kunta Kinte up by a tree, and they whipped him. But Kunta knew that I have to retain who I am. My name is. He said, my name is Kunta Kinte. But after so long, of the beat, and nobody coming to the rescue of Kunta Kinte. They say, what's your name? He said, Kunta Kinte. Say, your name is Toby. And they beat him so long until he gave up, but he didn't never lose his spirit. Every chance he got, he ran from the plantation. The slave master had to cut his toes off. But he never lost his African spirit. He never lost his memory. How many of us have lost our memory? See, I don't know whether y'all think anything of me. I have some great teachers. Baba Small said, Brother Patrick, we have to forget what we learned and remember what we already know. Just to show you the direct correlation between Baba Smalls and Malcolm X, He is over the Malcolm X estate in Queens, New York. So I'm divinely connected. So I don't know what y'all think of me. Malcolm said, people without their history is of the lower animals, primed to become somebody's slave. You forget who you are. That's why we teach our children at the Arcee Academy. To remember. Right? They teach you shit. People cannot teach you nothing. They can train you to be their slave. We have to remember. And move on. I hope you got some calls. Ain't scaring nobody. I want to pay tribute to Malcolm tonight. Oh, this is a good one right here. This is a good one right here. He's talking about the media. Powerful one right here. We ought to have some calls in on this because this is what's happening right now today. Now, how could Malcolm understand this? Back then, Malcolm was assassinated February the 21st, 1965. But he said this prior to 1965. We in 2021. He said this. The media is the most powerful entity on earth. They have the power to make the innocent guilty and to make the guilty innocent. Because they control the mind of the mass. And we're going to go back to Brother Hollowell. Brother Hollowell said he don't watch about 15 minutes of programming a day. He said, but the average, just to show you, I listen, Bobble. I don't just talk, I listen. You said the average black person watched 10 to 15 hours of TV a day. That's the real programming right there. Getting inundated with the information of your oppressor. See? Malcolm said it way back then. He said the media is the most powerful. So you sitting there getting indoctrinated every day with these people. I did. And I don't know what y'all believe about this COVID or whatever. But Lumumba has to be different from y'all. Because if I was the same as y'all, it wouldn't be no black liberation movement. I'd be doing the same shit everybody else doing. When COVID hit, everybody shut down. All the black organizations shut down. They were scared. But this little engine that we call the Black Liberation Movement, we didn't shut down. See, we didn't shut down. Listen to all that TV. Getting told when you gonna get sick. Getting told how many people finna die. How the hell you know how many people finna die if you ain't planning? COVID is a test run of mass compliance. So the white man saying it is and it be. Put your mask on. Take your mask off. Put two masks on. Oh, we made a mistake. Put three masks on. Take them off. Take the vaccine. Two shots. Oh, that ain't enough. Take three shots. Go back and take another shot. You're going to be sick if you don't do this. Well, you're going to be all right tomorrow because we're going to take the mask mandates off at 8 o'clock. So at 8 o'clock, COVID going to be gone. See what I'm talking about? See? You sitting your ass right there. I ain't had COVID. You know why? You know why I ain't had COVID? Because I ain't been to the doctor. Your ass go to the doctor, you're going to have COVID. Simple as that. Simple as that. Yeah. So I don't know who y'all listening to. It is what it is. I can't function like y'all because I am the chief organizer facilitator of the Black Liberation Movement. I'm obeying Malcolm. that y'all don't differentiate white folks and God. That's the same thing to you. Folks, it's not God to me. You don't tell me. The media is the most powerful entity on the earth. They have the power. See, the media is a it. But then he said they have the power. So he associating it with them. See, I just picked up on that. I took this quote directly from the quote. Said the media is the most powerful entity on earth. The media is the it that we're talking about. But it's controlled by them. And it goes on to say they have. That means the media along with the people who control it. Tool that give white supremacy power. When you can sit there and tell the whole world something at one time. I heard Adolf Hitler said something. He said, if you're going to lie, tell a big lie. He said, if you're going to lie, tell a big lie. Trick them all. Mass compliance. Tell them that Santa Claus don't deliver toys to all the children in the world. And you go back and tell your children that. See how silly we are? That's how silly we are. I think we got a call.
Brother Patrick.
Yeah. Who we speaking with?
It's Brother Kenneth.
Brother Kenneth. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
You got the mic.
I just had to let you know you're on fire tonight, brother.
Brother. Listen. Powerful, brother. They powerful.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. As Brother Michael said, don't want to monopolize the time, but I was thinking of that same quote you just quoted about the media. And for the simple fact, we're going through that phase right now, and a lot more people are becoming to the fact now. We talk about the phrase, how they call it fake news. But
right.
That particular interview that Brother Malcolm was getting, they was asking him about the civil rights legislation that was before Congress and eventually got passed. And he was telling them how they use the media to train the people. And he said, you can have your loving your enemy and hating your friend. And we notice that any time America wants to prosecute a war, notice how they get Hollywood in and start making particular movies geared at dehumanizing the people that they want to go to war with.
There you go.
You remember?
Yes,
you remember the show, the program that came on? It was called 24, and Kiefer Sullivan was the lead, and it was about terrorism. He was stopping these terrorist plots, and that was during the time when they wanted to, when 9/11, they wanted to prosecute that war started in the Middle East. And if you go back to the World Wars, you'll see how they made Germans look in the cinema. You'll see how they made the Japanese look in the cinema. And even when they wanted to attack and brutalize that movie, Birth of a Nation, how they came and put that out there. And they used it as a tool, their biggest tool of propaganda.
Yes, sir.
And
yes,
this
sir.
Is how they do those things, even to the point of how they reshape and package our leaders. If you Google Brother Malcolm, put in Malcolm X, and when they give him to you now, he's a civil rights leader. And we all know Brother Malcolm abhorred the term civil rights.
That's right. That's right.
And the same thing with Martin Luther King. I'm glad you and Brother Michael pointed that out. Brother Dr. King was on an evolutionary course. And the man they
presented
is a 1963 Martin Luther King. They don't give you the Martin Luther King that wrote Crisis in American City. They don't give you the one from 67 to 68 who was against the war effort and the one who everyone turned against, even the black church at that time told Martin that he was moving too fast and he was getting in white folks' business. But after the man is gone and he can't speak for himself, they repackage our leaders and they give them to us in a way that basically doesn't allow us to tap in to that mindset. And this is why what you're doing with those academy, education, you know, starting our babies off from the womb with the revolutionary mindset is very, very important. It is great that we honor a man like Brother Malcolm today and learn as much about the way he conducted and he lived and his principles, and not just remember him in a slogan or t-shirt and a hat, but let us be found struggling and striving the way that man is.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
So, brother, I said all that to say that Brother Malcolm, he lives through you because you're carrying on that same work. You have that same spirit. And the destiny of our people is in good hands with you and the Black Liberation Movement, brother. So continue to do what you do. And anytime you need me, you know, all you have to do is call me and I'll be there.
Without a doubt, brother. Without a doubt. Thank you again, Brother Kenny. I love you, brother. And I'm hoping to see you soon, brother. I appreciate you helping this podcast be as effective as it has been tonight.
Thank you, brother. I love you, too.
Yes, sir. Thank you, brother. Peace and blessings. All right. We get ready to wind it on down. Brother Commander, we're going to let you come on in. I don't know how much time we got, but I wanted to do this right before you come, Brother Commander, because it was something that it was something that Brother Kenneth said that I want concerning the media. If Sister Crystal is listening in, she sent a newsletter out today, and a brother by the name of Akil Parker up there in Philadelphia, teaching at Cheney State University up there, I think Cheney University up there in Philadelphia. He wrote on Malcolm, and he said three things that validated exactly what Brother Kenneth was saying concerning the media. I'd like for Sister Crystal to call in right quick and quote those three things just to validate what Brother Kenneth was saying. If Sister Crystal on, get to the phone and do that for me. Crystal, you on? Okay, well, she may not be on. So what we're going to do, we're going to go ahead, because I know Captain Maurice Muhammad is chomping at the bit. So, Brother Maurice, we're going to let you have it. Go ahead, my brother.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother. Excellent topic. Brother Kenneth, I'd like to say that I'm very happy this morning when I got up. I had a dream about Malcolm last night. And
we can hardly hear you, Brother Captain.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Is this better?
Yeah. Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. Perfect. So I had a dream about Malcolm last night, and I was thinking, trying to remember everything that was said and everything that happened, but I can't. But what I do remember, we walked into the house, me and wife, and Malcolm was sitting on the couch waiting there for us. And wife went into the kitchen area, and I stayed into the living room. And he and I talked. He asked me about how wife was coming in her studies. And I said, well, she's coming along well. She's coming along well. And then we got into something else, and I don't remember exactly what that part of the conversation was about. But one thing about Malcolm, one of his quotes, he said that education is the passport to the future. For tomorrow belongs to those who prepare for it today. You can't separate peace from freedom. Because no one can be at peace unless he has his freedom. The future belongs to those who prepare today. And so we really have to understand that. And then also the most famous speech that Malcolm X gave us was the ballot or the bullet. Ballot or the bullet. And so I just look at our activity that we're doing, and you can see with the education of the Afay Academy, you see with our political work, that we're going right down the line that Malcolm laid out. And so we're not going to deviate from that line. And one thing that I have always been, until maybe a few years ago and I stopped being that, I was a very harsh critic of Malcolm because I didn't like the New Testament Malcolm. I loved the Old Testament Malcolm, but not the New Testament Malcolm. Mm-hmm. And one day it hit me that Malcolm, I believe, was like 39 years old, and this was the first time he didn't go to no school to prepare for what he had to do. Nobody was guiding him from a child on up to teach him, look, you gotta miss this pothole, you gotta go this way, nobody was giving him that kind of instruction. So he was learning while he was on the job. And then so for us, or people like me that are very analytical and criticize every damn thing, you know, we gotta understand and take it into consideration that Malcolm was still a young man. He was still learning. He was still learning his way. But even in that time that he gave us, he left a roadmap for us to follow if we have the courage, if we have the will to be as Malcolm was, the will to grow as far as Malcolm went and farther. Because at this point now, we know his words. We know what he talked about. We know what he told us. And see, this is the difference between us, Brother Patrick, and others. We're taking what he gave us and putting it to action to produce a product. Ain't nobody sitting around saying, wow, we wish we could do. We go out and we make it happen.
Right.
We go out and make it happen. And so what our people got to realize, just because you can quote Malcolm don't mean you love Malcolm.
That's right.
You may be a scholar of quotology. But if you don't try to live Malcolm, then you don't love Malcolm. We got to look and understand how we are living and how will this better us as a people. See, if you a cracker lover, it ain't going to better us as a people. If you scared to be a man, you're not going to better us as a people. Because in order to love Malcolm in reality, that means you got to be willing to confront the enemy. And Malcolm did that. He showed you what manhood was about. He showed you what being a God was about. And he didn't do it in the privacy of his own home where nobody can see. He did it right there out front in the public. He showed us what it looks like. He showed us what leadership is, real leadership. And he didn't bite his tongue.
Yes, sir.
Doesn't matter whether what he was saying was popular or not. He said it. Now deal with it.
That's right.
That's how we got to be. We can't be afraid to say anything because somebody may be displeased. You better learn about what we say. You better listen on what we say. Then, damn it, you better do what we say. Mm-hmm. You better do what we say, because what you're going to find out, what most of you going to find out, is we better friends to you than your own mother and father. I say it again. We are better friends to you than your own mother and father. Your mother and father got you here. But if you listen to what we tell you and do what we tell you, we'll help you create a new reality for your children. We'll make it so that you'll be able to go further on in life, and you won't be no broke down nigga. You'll be on your way to being a God. You'll be your way to being a God. Thank you, beloved, for allowing me to give my few words. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank Maurice Muhammad. I always appreciate you and your lovely wife, Sister Angela, for working the boards on the podcast. You always do a timely job and keep me on point. How much more time do we have? Captain, how much more time?
We have how much more time? We have 15 minutes, and Sister Crystal, mic is open.
Okay, if Crystal is on.
Yes, can you hear me?
Go ahead on. Okay, we can hear you.
Okay.
As you said,
you know, today we did release the May issue Wake Up newsletter, and that was strategically released today because we do have a tribute to Baba Malcolm X in there. And as you said, Brother Akil from Philadelphia, instructor at Cheney State, he wrote a great article, A Gift for Malcolm X. And in that article, he explains that we need to visit Baba Malcolm in a scholar sense, in addition to the strong black men who didn't take any mess from Mr. Charlie and Miss Ann. And we need to really pay attention to what he said and his scholarship, as we are doing tonight. But he said, he wrote in the last message that he delivered, Baba Malcolm spoke of three steps engaged by the Western powers in order to manufacture consent among the public. Manufacture consent. He said, he happens to have been discussing specifically American oppression. So the three steps that is used by the press to manufacture consent is, number one, fan the flame to create hysteria in the minds of the public. Number two, shift gears and fan the flame in a manner designed to get the sympathy in the eyes of the public. And the third step is, once they go from hysteria to sympathy, their next step, talking about the media, is to get the public to support them in any act they're getting ready to get down with. So they use the media to first get you all hysterical about what's going on, and then they use the media to shift gears and say, well, now we can do this, and they gain the sympathy of the masses of the people. And the third is, once they've done all that, they get the public to support them in any act they're getting ready to get down with. So those are the three steps that the powers that be use the media to help gain manufactured consent. And that's an interesting term, manufactured consent, because we think that we're doing something of our own free will when the whole time has been manufactured.
No doubt. And that's perfect. Can we say vaccination?
Right.
Can we say vaccination? What is it? Read those three things again. You said basically create a hysteria, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then you said manufacture the consent or the sympathy of the people,
mm-hmm.
and then so they can get down with the plan. Read them again. I think I got it right.
First create the hysteria. So when you test positive, you automatically gonna die. I mean, that was what was created in the beginning. You test positive, you gonna die, period. And then once they do that, once they have it all done, well, what can we do? Well, you can wear a mask and you can do whatever we tell you to do to keep this virus from spreading, right? And then once they do both of those things, then now they got you where they want you, so they can tell you anything. Well, if you get this vaccine, you won't get sick, you won't die. But wait a minute. Now we ain't even got enough people getting the vaccine. So now we're going to have to impose all this other stuff on you. So now they got the masses where they want them by creating the hysteria, creating the sympathy. Now they can tell us anything, right? And we're going to go with it. So, you know, and that speech was given in 1960, I want to say 63, 64, right? And here we are in 2021, it's supposed to be so much more advanced thinkers, so much more intellectuals, and all this, that, and the other, when all they do is reinvent and recreate, and then we fall for the okey-doke all over again, even in our smartness.
No doubt. No doubt. And thank you for that, Sister Crystal. I wanted that to come back and put the nail in the coffin, so to speak, to the media thing. You know what I'm saying? Because people not just talking. See, I know what comes with white supremacy is the power that comes with that. And that's what we trying, and that's what we doing. We trying to manufacture our own power to battle with white supremacy because it's so powerful. That's why I hate when I hear the brothers talk, ain't no such thing, white supremacy. You need to shut up. You need to shut up because you have exemplified to me that you're not willing to fight it. So you choose to act as though it don't exist with the city. Okay? You choose not to build what it takes to deal with this monk. So you need the teachers of Malcolm to reflect on so that you'll know what you're dealing with. I was reading Bob Baruda today in the Wake Up newsletter that the Black Liberation Movement under the editorial work of Sister Chris Denise have been doing for a while now. And y'all, if you don't have it, you need to subscribe to it. And Bob Baruda was saying that the anger of a warrior is not to be You don't pray that your anger go away, not the anger of a warrior. If you're going to pray, you pray that your anger be directed to deal with your enemy and the enemy of your people. I love that. See, we got weak leaders. We got leaders that want to make us sissies instead of dealing with our enemy in the anger. And the anger that we have, the righteous anger. This is do y'all understand the such thing as righteous anger? Of people that have been oppressed for 400 years, have been disenfranchised for 400 years. Why you ain't angry? If somebody had their foot on your neck for 400 years, why wouldn't you be angry? So, you don't pray that your anger go away. You pray that you can direct your anger toward what it is that can relieve your oppression. So that's about all tonight. And with the time we have, we're going to forfeit that time. But I want to leave you with one of Malcolm's greatest quotes on his day. And the one that I love so much, because he let us understand that Malcolm wasn't just a teacher. He was not a coward. He was not a coward. And I want to leave, Brother Captain, after we quote this, because it pretty much says exactly what you say in the close. So we're going to close with this right here. Brother Malcolm said, "Go in peace. Respect those who respect you. But if someone put their hands on you, send them to the cemetery." I appreciate you, Brother Malcolm. The Prince, the God King, our great ancestor. We leave y'all in peace and power.
Thank y'all for joining the Black Liberation Movement podcast. Join us next Wednesday night. I say, oh, thank you.
But don't scare Negroes today with no badge or no white skin or no white sheet or no white anything else. The police the same way. They put their club upside your head and then turn around and accuse you of attacking them. Every case of police brutality against a Negro follows the same pattern. They attack you, bust you all upside your mouth, and then take you to court and charge you with assault. What kind of democracy is that? What kind of freedom is that? What kind of social or political system is it when a black man has no voice in court, has no nothing on his side other than what the white man chooses to give him? My brothers and sisters, we have to put a stop to this. And it will never be stopped until we stop it ourselves. They attack the victim. And then the criminal who attacked the victim accuses the victim of attacking him. This is American justice. This is American democracy. And those of you who are familiar with it know that in America, democracy is hypocrisy. Now, if I'm wrong, put me in jail. But if you can't prove that if democracy is not hypocrisy, then don't put your hands on me.
We want freedom by any means necessary. We want justice by any means necessary. We want equality by any means necessary. We don't feel that in 1964, living in a country that is supposedly based upon freedom and supposedly the leader of the free world, we don't think that we should have to sit around and wait for some segregationist congressmen and senators and a president from Texas in Washington, D.C. to make up their minds that our people are due now some degree of civil rights. No, we want it now, or we don't think anybody should have it.
How will passage of the bill affect job opportunities?
I don't see where job opportunities will affect, I don't see how passage of the bill will affect job opportunities for black people when there's no law now that can create opportunities in employment even for white people. The whole system in this country, the economic system, is such that jobs are scarce. Automation is limiting jobs. It's decreasing jobs. And as automation eliminates the job opportunities, legislation will not create job opportunities. All it will do is bring about friction and hostility between the two races.
How will passage of the Civil Rights Bill affect voter registration?
Anytime you have to pass a civil rights bill to make voter registration or voting opportunities increase for black people in this country, that in itself is a slap at the entire system of democracy. The only thing that will affect voter registration is when our own leaders form some kind of political education program that makes our people become more politically mature, politically alert, and aware of what their involvement and participation in politics will bring them. So it's not so much voter registration without voter education is a waste of time. Legislation will do neither.
In order for you and me to devise some kind of method or strategy to offset some of the events or a repetition of the events that have taken place here in Los Angeles recently, we have to go to the root. We have to go to the cause. Dealing with the condition itself is not enough. And it is because of our effort toward getting straight to the root that people oftentimes think we are dealing in hate. We are oppressed. We are exploited. We are downtrodden.
We are denied not only civil rights, but even human rights. So the only way we're going to get some of this oppression and exploitation away from us or aside from us is come together against a common enemy. Who taught you to hate the texture of your hair? Who taught you to hate the color of your skin to such extent that you bleach to get like the white man? Who taught you to hate the shape of your nose and the shape of your lips? Who taught you to hate yourself from the top of your head to the soles of your feet? Who taught you to hate your own kind? Who taught you to hate the race that you belong to? So much so that you don't want to be around each other. No, before you come asking Mr. Muhammad, does he teach hate, you should ask yourself, who taught you to hate being what God gave you? And I, for one, as a Muslim, believe that the white man is intelligent enough. If he were made to realize how black people really feel and how fed up we are without that old compromising sweet talk. Stop sweet talking it. Tell him how you feel. Tell him how, what kind of hell you've been catching, and let him know that if he's not ready to clean his house up, if he's not ready to clean his house up, he shouldn't have a house. It should catch on fire and burn down.